First, it was let God love you. The second, stay in His love. I want to talk to us this morning about accepting God's love. Accepting God's love. Praise the Lord. I wrote this down because this week, and I was really blessed, and I'm not exalting people, but what I'm exalting here is I'm exalting God moving in your lives, okay? I'm exalting God moving in your lives. And what part of the prophetic word that Rose gave last Sunday, that I actually meditated on that this week because I felt the Spirit was saying several things. This was the first couple of paragraphs of that word. First, see in the spirit realm. See in my word that all the things man needs have already been supplied in me and are waiting on man to be believed and received. Keep looking at the awesome work of Jesus. Nothing can stand against the power of the cross because it was my act of supreme love. So when we talk about God's love, you know, there's a lot about this, about being willing to receive. But the first thing is you've got to see God's love from His perspective. You'll never get to God's love thinking about it like man thinks about love. It just doesn't work that way. God's perspective is unique on love. And I'm very excited that He's dealing with us about this. God's love is the foundation stone. Amen? God's love is the foundation stone of all these things. Without love, there's no grace. Because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And Jesus' death on the cross is what brings us the grace of God. Praise the Lord. So I wanted to talk a little more about accepting His love. You know, we've talked about letting God love you, staying in His love. Now, I want to address specifically the point this morning about you accepting God's love. Now, let's go to John chapter 21 and the Gospel of John, not the Epistle of John. And I want to read us a story. And as I read us this story, hopefully Rena can follow along. Actually, I added a few scriptures, Rena, that I wanted to read that may not be on there, so you may have to do a little scrolling. But John 21:7, I want to look at this story. This is I want to read a lot of the story and then talk to us about this. 21:7 says this. Jesus was on the shore, and this is one of the stories about what the Lord responding to His people before He left and was ascended. And verse 6, 21:6 says this, "And He said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it in for the multitude of fishes." God, Jesus being practical with them about life. Verse 7, "Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter," now Jesus is standing on the shore, okay, "Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far off from land." What I wanted to point out to you this morning is John plays a unique role in this thing of the love of God. And you know, I want you to notice, this is so awesome. You have to think about this. He called himself, instead of saying, "Hey, I'm John," okay? He called himself continuously through that gospel, the disciple whom Jesus loved. He doesn't even name himself as John, okay? You say, why are you saying that? Because this is a story about us. If there isn't a little bit of Peter in all of us in this story, you just have to think about it. This is a story about us. And the Lord appears, you know, the scripture, the story is going to tell us this is the third time Jesus appeared to them before His ascension into heaven. And He's on there talking about all this. The first guy that knew it was Jesus was the disciple whom Jesus loved. And he comes over and there this dialogue. He was the first guy to recognize this was Jesus, the Lord, having risen from the dead. And then he goes over to Peter, and Peter in this story is the rambunctious part of all of us. Amen. Peter, the disciple. Now this is so cool because it doesn't say John said this to Peter. The scripture says, and the disciple whom Jesus loved looked over to Peter and said, "It is the Lord." Now, Peter, bless his darling heart. You know, he's sitting there, according to the scripture. He was naked, so he grabs his coat, jumps in the sea, and starts swimming to Jesus. Amen? But the disciple whom Jesus loved felt no need to do that. You need to really think about this. He felt no need to run to the Lord. In other words, John starts showing us a picture of Peter. It's the Lord. Peter didn't see it. John told him that it was the Lord. And Peter jumps in the river to swim to Jesus, but the disciple whom Jesus loved stayed on the boat. He felt no need to jump in and go chase God. Interesting, isn't it? He was perfectly secure in where he was. This is a great story. And that whole phrase, someone commented to me when they first read that phrase, the disciple whom Jesus loved, said, boy, that's really arrogant, you know, that he would call himself that. But you see, the thing, the truth is God, Jesus, had revealed his love to John. Most of the writings on God, now I'm not saying that Peter never learned this lesson, but most of the writings where we get the understanding of God's love come from the Gospel of John or the Epistle of 1 John. Okay? The understanding of God's love came from the disciple whom Jesus loved. See, this wasn't a theory to him. This is something he knew. And we're going to find more about this story because the story has a lot of precious points in it. But let's go ahead and read it. So, and soon they were come to land. This is 21:9. And they saw a fire of coals there and a fish laid thereon and bread. And Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which ye have caught. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all that there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Verse 12. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them and fish likewise. And this is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead and before his ascension. Now look at this story in verse 15, 21:15. So when they had dined, now they've done eating, the first thing Jesus did was take care of their practical needs. Amen? He met them where they were at. They were hungry, and he fed them, okay? Praise the Lord. And then there is this interesting dialogue between Jesus and the first guy out of the boat who went swimming to go chase God, okay? So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, right? Who's he talking to? Peter, right? And this is what he said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He didn't say, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He said, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? It would be like if the Lord appeared now, physically, corporeally, and looked at me and said, Henry, do you love me more than the rest of the people in the church love me? It's a very interesting question. Why would you ask somebody that question? Clearly, Peter was insecure about his place with God, wasn't he? Okay? Why would that be? Well, this might be the guy who denied Christ before he was crucified. Okay? And now he's risen. Can you imagine the first time Peter saw Jesus and thought, oh my, mistake doesn't even begin to classify what I have done. Right? So Peter's a little bit, and there's a lot in this story about Jesus restoring us from large mistakes, but that's not my point this morning. I just want to point out to you, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Now, can we switch at this point to Dr. Z? I'm not going to go technical on you here, but I just want to show you some of the words so you can see the dialogue, because you can't see this in English. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Now notice very carefully that 25, it's agapeo. Jesus was saying to Peter in Greek, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me with the love of God? That's the word that's normally associated with the love of God. And let's go on now. Lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Different number, 5368. when Jesus said, Simon, son of Jonas, do you agape me? Do you agapeo? Do you love me with the love of God? Peter turned around and answered and said, yea, Lord, you know us that I, that word is phileo, brotherly love. So Jesus said, Simon, do you love me with the love of God? And Peter said, Lord, you know that I love you like a best friend. He didn't answer his question. That was not what Jesus asked him. Jesus asked him, do you love me with God's love? And Peter said, I love you with brotherly love. Lord, you're my best friend. Interesting. Okay. Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. So go to work and feed my kids. He saith unto him again the second time. So Jesus repeats, this is the second time. Simon, son of Jonah, lovest, do you agape or agapeo? Do you agape or agapeo? Do you love me with the love of God? He saith, Lord, thou knowest that I, what? You know that I love you as my best friend. See? Now, the second time, Jesus said, do you love me with the love of God? And Peter twice says, I love you as a brother, is basically what he's saying. Would you say that he's avoiding the question? Okay, because they're using two different words when they're communicating in Greek, okay? Or well, they weren't communicating in Greek, but as it was written in Greek, okay? That I love thee. So he said, do you love me with the love of God? I love you as my best friend. That's what was going on here. Do you love me with the love of God? I love you as my best friend. And he saith unto him, feed my sheep. And he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah. Look at what happened. Jesus is talking. Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? He changed words because he could see that Peter was down here. Jesus was up here. Peter was down here. And so he said, well, I've asked you twice if you love me with the love of God, and twice you've told me you love me like a brother, so I'm going to drop down to where you are, which I think is very considerate. And he said, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me as a brother? He dropped his word back. Okay, said, do you love me as a brother? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, even grieved that he said the third time, do you love me as a brother? Okay, now the point that of all this is, I think, is this whole conversation started out with, do you love me more than the rest of these people love me? Why do you ask somebody that? Because clearly Simon was always jumping out of the boat. I mean, this isn't in the Bible, but you can see from the context. He's always jumping out of the boat trying to get close to the Lord. He apparently loves God with all his heart, and he's exuberant, and he wants to serve God, and he wants to be the first one in the pool. You know, he wants to be the first one to get close to Jesus. But who really was the first one closest to Jesus? The disciple whom Jesus loved. The one who laid on his breast at the Last Supper. Okay? See, John is the one who had the revelation of God's love to us. He is the one that communicated that in the Gospels. He's the one that communicated that in the Epistles. Don't you find this story interesting? I just wanted to show you that, and I had her put it up in Dr. Z so you could see those different words. So you got the picture? You know, Simon, do you love me with the love of God? And Peter's answer, I love you like a brother. A second time, Simon, do you love me with the love of God? Second answer, I love you like a brother. Third answer, currently you can't make the response that I'm looking for here. Okay, and I think Jesus, now remember the question that he's answering here. He's addressing the fact that he asked Peter, do you love me more than the rest of the people here? You get where this is going? It's the guy who says, I want to be spiritually first. You know, he's addressing that issue. And he's saying, do you love me more than these? And Peter's going, I love you as best I can. You know, I love you as much as I can muster up. Yeah, I love you like a brother. And Jesus said, well, do you love me like a brother? And Peter's grieved. Because if I asked you the same question three times, what would be your natural conclusion? Why do you keep asking me? Or, there must be a point here that I'm missing because I thought I answered this a moment ago, okay? And you're asking me again, so clearly there's something here I don't understand. Wouldn't you agree? You know, clearly that if somebody asks you three times the same question, there must be something that you don't get. So he gives them all this dialogue. Okay, now verse 18. Verily, verily, I say unto you, when you were young, you gird yourself and walk thither where you would not. And then you shall be old, and you shall stretch forth thy hand, and another shall gird thee and carry you where you would not go. And this spake he by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Now, verse 20 through the end of the chapter of John is very interesting. And we've gone back to the King James. Thank you, Rena. Then Peter, turning about after this whole interchange with Jesus, then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following. Who'd he see? John, right? Don't you find that interesting that he didn't call himself and Peter saw John? John thought of himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And he even called himself that in the narrative. I just think that's interesting. It shows you how strong this concept in John was of God loves me. Okay? He loves me so much that you can call me the disciple whom Jesus loved if you want. Okay? Because he called himself that. Praise the Lord. So Peter, turning about, sees the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? And Peter, seeing him, saith unto Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? And Jesus said unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren that the disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, he should not die. But if he will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, everyone, I suppose, even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. So this story is about a guy, about people, you know, don't you think there's a little bit of Peter in all of us? Don't you really think there's a little bit of Peter in all of us? You know, you see somebody out among your brothers and sisters and they get blessed and you at the current moment are struggling with something, you know, and you go to God. It's like, Lord, what about John? What about John, Lord? This is a very interesting thing here, folks, because what Jesus was trying to show Peter that John already got was that, Peter, I love you, I love John, don't worry about John, I'll do with John what I want to do with John, you worry about Peter and what I want to do with Peter. That's your concern. That was his story. What he was really saying behind the whole thing is, what he was really saying, he was trying to make this point with Peter. He's saying, Peter, you're trying to love me, but you haven't discovered how much I love you. You're trying to love me with your love. You're trying to get close to me with your love. But you don't understand. John has already figured out it's not about how much you love him. It's about how much he loves you. And when you understand that, and when you start to comprehend that, that becomes your security. It's like, and when you're going through a bad place, you know, the skies can be dark and the thunder can be clapping, but you're going there saying, oh, I know, but he loves me. I know he loves me. Praise the Lord. So I think he was trying to get Peter to understand there's these two different perspectives. And as God, I'm not as much concerned about how much you love me as I am about how much I love you. And here's why. John clarifies this point. Don't you think that's interesting? That whole thing, there's a lot more in that story than what I've just given you. I mean, that story is Jesus trying to reassure Peter that even though he'd made a tremendous mistake, he was restored, okay, from his mistake. I can't even... Folks, I've tried to conceptualize in my mind denying Jesus, and then he is risen from the dead, and he appears to you. Mistake, what word can you put on that? He was right. I was wrong. You know what? And not to top, not only was I wrong, but I denied him in the hour of crisis. And he's still standing here telling me how much he loves me. He's still standing here telling me how much he loves me. Wow. And can you feel that in the spirit? It's like, well, bring it on, Lord. We need some agape. We don't need some phileo. Phileo is what you can muster up. Agape is what he has mustered up through the life of his son and the death of his son. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So let's go to 1 John and look at a couple of things. You know, now who are we going to read about these things? The disciple whom Jesus loved. Amen. 1 John 4. Now this is his epistle 9 and 10. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that... Now, look at verse 10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he what? Loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Let's jump to verse 19. Verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. Now, the thing that this brings out is God's love starts with him, not with you. Okay? It is not about how much you love God. Peter proved that. Do you believe Peter was being insincere with Jesus? I don't. I think he was being zealous for the Lord. But he wanted to get close and be first and go swim and be the first one in line and all that. He was so concerned that he said, Jesus, this guy John who got to lean on your breast at the Last Supper, what about him? What about him? What about him? And it was like, Peter, if I want him to be here till I come back, what is that to you? You follow me. Folks, you're going to find out that, you know, and I'm sure that I'm the only one who's ever looked at someone who got blessed and was a little jealous. I'm sure I'm the only one who's ever felt that emotion. Okay? Sure. Right? But maybe not. Maybe that emotion is common to mankind. Okay? And the way around it is, the way around that emotion is his love for you. Folks, you're never going to be happy trying to be each other. You will never be happy trying to be each other. We are uniquely created in the image of God. He wants to love us and show us what he has for our life. What a good deal. You're going to find out that the only thing that really makes happiness is what he has for you to do with your life. You're only going to be happy there. See, what everybody has concluded in the past is everybody's supposed to go in the ministry. That's not the conclusion. The conclusion is you're an able minister of the new covenant where you are. Go do your job. Amen? And God loves you right where you are. This is really, not that we loved him, but he first loved us. So the thing of the love of God. Now, there's a huge issue here, and I just want to talk about this for just a second before we go on. And the huge issue is this, he's laying out for us this whole program of where does this start? See, it's not that we're not supposed to love God back, but God knows that we'll never love him back like we're supposed to until he loves us. And when he loves us, then we get to make a response out of that love, because his heart for something is so far greater than your heart for something that when you let that love in you flow out of you, it changes you. And I really thought that was worth pointing out. And there, the big picture issue here, whether you realize this or not, I was doing a little study last week for myself, and I just happened to look up the verse in Hebrews 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And I was looking that up because what I did was, and I was looking through the scholars just to, you know, just perusing the scholars, and you know what I found out? It's very cool, you know. Most of the scholars that I read have no idea what that verse is saying. Absolutely none. I mean, there's a definite article. The word our faith is not in the Greek, okay? There's a definite article before faith. So looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of the faith. And so a lot of scholars go on and say the author word means someone who's the leader or founder. And so they say Jesus is the founder of the Christian faith. Anything but your faith starts with God and ends with God. Anything but just the simple meaning of the verse, that Jesus reveals to you something in the Word, and then at that point, He gives you the choice to respond to that, and you can choose to believe it or not believe it. Because if He doesn't reveal it to you by the Holy Ghost, your faith is going to be a reflection of the moon is made of green cheese, isn't it? You may not think so, but the only real truth you have, you know, there's such a thing in our minds of what is put there by knowledge and effort and what is put there by revelation. And the revelation, you know, you can have all this knowledge and have no idea what to do with your life. And God can speak to you one scripture, and that one scripture becomes everything you need to get through the crisis that you're in. I remember when Texas was having trouble, we were having some challenges with our children as they were growing up, and God gave her the verse, "All your children will be taught of the Lord, and grace will be the great will be the peace of your children." And we just hung on to that. And, you know, and God changed our kids. We certainly didn't, okay? God matured them and got them through life. Amen. Praise the Lord. But this whole thing is, it's the same thing with faith. If your faith, you don't want to view faith as you're going to take your faith and you're going to make it happen. When you do that, you open yourself up for just work, 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 work. You want to view your faith as, God revealed this to me, I chose to believe it, and then God moved for me. Okay? And faith is your response to God. God's love is your response to God. It isn't you loving. Do y'all see that? And I want you to be very clear about that, because, you know, anytime you go down this road of taking one thing in the scripture and making that one thing, we use the phrase silver bullet. Y'all know what I mean by that? The silver bullet is an analogy, meaning you found the one thing that will kill your enemy, you know, or something like that. There's no silver bullet. Okay, there's Jesus. That's all there is. There's no secret, you know, of just one thing that does it. It's Jesus and His love and His grace, and you stay there and you get rooted and grounded and you'll be fine. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean you don't study things and you don't learn about confession and you don't learn about different truths in the Word of God. But basically, it gets back to Jesus. You don't want any truth that leaves you driving the boat. I'll just tell you that. You don't want any truth that places an emphasis that leaves you driving the boat, because you're going to find out we are not smart enough to make this thing right. You can do, I've done some of the smartest things in the world, and they turn it out being some of the stupidest because what I thought was right. How many of you have that experience? You think something's right, you do it, and it blows up in your face, you know? Praise the Lord. So this is all part of this big picture. God's love is to you first from God. And then out of that love, you can make a response back to Him. You can love people. You can love kids and so forth. That'll keep you safe if you understand that. Praise God. So now let's bring out the next key component and one more point in this. Verse 16. We covered this in several times. We have known and believed the love that God has to us. Okay? God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. Now, we've talked about the aspect of we have known, and we've shown you that that verse, that word means to feel, experience, understand. So you only feel, experience, and understand the love of God when it's revealed to you. Amen? You have to have God reveal that to you. I don't reveal that to you. The Holy Spirit does, okay? But I want you to call your attention to the second part of this verse, and this is where a lot of times John said of Jesus, you know, as the Father, Jesus said these words, as the Father loved me, so have I loved you. Stay in my love. There's this thing of the world and life is always trying to drag us out of his love, okay? And we've got to stay. Now, this is the component that helps us stay. Love doesn't start with believing. Love starts with knowing. The order is important, okay? Experiencing, feeling, understanding. But the second thing is we have known and what? Believed what? The love, the agape, that God has to us. So there is an element with love that God will reveal it to you and let you experience it. But I've seen a lot of people experience God's love and get into this kind of mode. Man, I felt that I was praying for something one time and I felt the love of God. You could tell Texas was feeling the love of God for those kids when she was sharing, couldn't you? Okay? I felt the love of God. And then all of a sudden, I just kept praying, but I don't understand this. I don't feel it anymore. I don't feel. Have you ever heard anybody say stuff like that? Maybe not. But the problem with the statement is the love of God is not only known, but it is believed. You with me? It's not only known, but it's believed. In other words, you have to form some convictions about how love works and be willing to live in those convictions. Amen? What's the conviction? I get to know it first and have it revealed to me first, and then I can believe it. Praise the Lord. And once I believe it, then we can hold on to it. Honestly, there have been times in my life when the thunder was clapping and the lightning was striking all around me, and I didn't know exactly what God was saying to me in that situation. And I just sat down and I said, Lord, I know this. You love me. I can drop back to the basics. You love me. Okay, and I know you have my best interest. See, you can't say that with a straight face if your doctrine is God does stuff, you know, God kills people around you to teach you lessons and all that kind of. If you believe in that kind of teaching, you can't relax in the crisis because you're not sure if this is one of those crises God's trying to teach you one of these great lessons if you believe that kind of stuff. I don't believe that stuff. You know, I've come to simple conclusions that people can live with. God loves me, God good, devil bad, evil bad, devil bad, God good, loves me. See, I don't have, you know, I don't have to get complex about that. And you don't have to get complex about it either. When you get complex, that's when you should be scared, okay? And we've known and believed. So you've got to form some convictions. Once this love is given to you and revealed to you, you've got to decide whether you're going to hold on to it. Now you can make a response. I love this love, Lord. Thank God. You got to go to the doctor, let's say, and there's a feeling inside of you that that's serious or something wrong. And the Holy Ghost says to you, you don't have to be afraid to go to the doctor. You know, I love you. You know, I'm going to go with you when you go to the doctor. I'm going to be there. I'm going to help you through it all. I'm going to show you. See, that's because you've known it. Now you've formed some conclusions about you believe it, that it belongs to you. You believe it, that it belongs to you. Praise the Lord. I love that. Hallelujah. Now, one final point as we kind of draw to the end of this series here. Romans 5:5 in the Amplified. We've put this up before. And then I want to, Romans 5:5, and then we want to look at Ephesians 3. This is from the Amplified. Such hope never disappoints or deludes or shames us, for God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. God, where's God's love, folks? Is it? Do you have to go get it? Where is it? Is it already there? Okay, God's love is already in your heart. Okay, it's inside of you. And the Amplified makes that very clear. For God's love has, and the Amplified captures the Greek tenses very clearly here, has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been, if you're born again and the Holy Spirit's in you, the love of God is in you. Okay, now, there's a question, that's a truth. Now, I want to show you something in Ephesians 3 because, you know, I testify freely and openly to you that I do not know everything there is to know about the love of God. No one does, okay? But I know certain elements of the love of God that have been revealed to me that I'm giving to you, okay? One of those elements is the order. And I was so relieved to find out that it wasn't so much about how much I loved him as about how much he loved me. And when I figured that out, it changed my life. Because I stopped striving with trying to be perfect and trying to do everything perfectly and realized that he loved me just the way I am. So I am giving you some things that have been made real to me. Now, Ephesians 3 is kind of the capstone to this whole thing. Now, this prayer that Paul prayed, there was a prayer in Ephesians 1 that he prayed. He said, I pray that the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Christ would be, Jesus would be given unto you. This is the second major prayer in the book of Ephesians. And most often, let's read it and we'll comment. For this cause I bow my knee. Now, if you go back one verse, Rena, this is the context. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. In other words, the Ephesians were going through, he was going through, and they were concerned about what he was going through as the apostle. And so this was his response. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Now, most of the teaching that I've ever heard on this prayer, okay, centers on that verse, that you, that Paul was praying that the Holy Spirit would strengthen the Ephesian church in their inner man, make them strong so that they go forth. There's a whole lot more in the prayer than just that one point, okay? Let's go on. Now, all of these things are things that Paul was praying for, okay? That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. So not only was he praying for them to be strengthened, but that Jesus would dwell in their heart and they would be fixed in love. Okay, that was part of his prayer. That you may be rooted and grounded in love. You may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. And to know, now look at this phrase right here. And to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. To know the love of Christ. Do you realize that what this verse is saying is that God, do you think Paul was praying scriptural prayers since we've done this? Well, I think that's a fair assumption. And what he did was, now look at this, he's saying, you guys are in trouble, and he's saying, I bow my knee unto the Lord Jesus Christ, and he talked about strengthening and about a bunch of things. But down the list in that prayer is that you may be rooted and grounded in love. And then he said, I'm praying to God that you Ephesians would know, that's that word known and believed again, that you would feel, experience, and understand the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Folks, this is really huge. Because I've had people come up and say, you know, Henry, I hear what you're saying, but honestly, I've been so bound up in the situation of my life, I can't honestly tell you that I've ever felt the love of God for me. Some people look at that like, how could you not feel the love of God? If you're born in a religious rat hole and been raised in that all your life before you got out, you could very easily be in a place where you've never felt or experienced the love he has for you. Okay, you could very easily. And Paul said, I'm praying for you to feel, experience, and understand the love he has for you. So apparently, it's scriptural to ask that the love that is inside of you be stirred up and come forth. That's huge, don't you think? Because you could take one point of view would be, okay, if the love's within me, I'm done. Well, that just depends on whether or not you know it, right? Or whether it's there, but you've never stirred it up and you've never felt it, even though it's there. You've never felt it. And Paul's conclusion to that was, Lord God, it would be like this if I were helping someone and I could see. How many people, guys, do you know that their issues that they're going through in their life stem back to the fact that they don't know that God loves them? How many people do you know like that? What do you do when you run across those people? Do you say, sorry, I wish you knew the love of God like me? What do you do with those people that are like that? I wish you knew the love of God like me. What's your name? I'm the disciple that Jesus loved. Why, you arrogant little snot, you. You know, who do you think you are? You know? Nobody. He just showed it to me. You understand where I'm coming from with this? And see, you know, whether you if you've got someone around you, if this applies to you personally, or if you've got someone around you that you can see is suffering because they don't know the religion is a cruel taskmaster. And most of religion gets you in a corner where you don't know the love that he has for you. That's where it usually brings you. You get to that point. And Paul said, he walked up and said, I don't know, I know you're struggling with, but dear God, in Jesus' name, Father, I just pray according to the riches of glory in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that this brother or sister would know your love, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you would reveal that love. Apparently, that's a scriptural prayer. Apparently, that's the way you deal with someone who doesn't know love. You pray for them that God... Well, what if they're not believing? It doesn't start with believing. It starts with knowing. You've got to keep the order right. Well, what if they don't want it? What if they're not believing for God's love? It doesn't start with believing. It starts with knowing. And then after you know, then you believe. Are you getting this? See, that's really deep if you think about that. And so if you have people in trouble, this would be true of you, or it would be true of people around you, yourself. If you're sitting there today saying, I felt the love of God, but honestly, I need more of the love of God. I need more of this in my life. Then you should be going home tonight and saying to yourself, Lord, I'm just asking you for more of that know and believe. See, you supply the believe, but you can ask for more of the know, because then the believe follows the know like it's supposed to. Instead of you trying to feel like you're believing to get to know, it doesn't work that way. You know and then you believe. You got to maintain the order. If you have to believe first, then it kind of takes on this spirit of works kind of thing, you know? You know what I'm saying? Kind of takes on this spirit of works. Known is first, believe is second. So that's what I wanted to give you this morning is we need more of this. And I felt like, you know, I felt like honestly that we needed to pray for this as we close out the message, because... this, and specifically, I guess, let me just ask a question at this point. Is there anybody that feels like they're in a place where this is just kind of a, you know, you've either had the love of God or you don't really know the love of God for you? I mean, how many would say they're in that place or feel like they're in that place? Nobody wants to own up to that. Okay. It's like, don't own up to that in here. Colin will own up to that. Amen. She will own up to that. Rose will own. I would own up to that, okay? Because I know that I know the love of God, but I know that there are realms of the love of God that I don't know yet. I mean, I can tell that. I mean, I know that. I know what has been made real. I also can tell that there's more. Because it says it is the love of Christ that passes knowledge. In other words, there's depths and realms to this that you'd have to be God to understand. We understand the part that Jesus died and God has made that real to me. So we got that part. But the rest of this is, and this will keep you steady, folks, in the jail with the thunder clapping and the lightning striking. This will keep you steady. It's like, I know he loves me. I don't know what's going on here or why I'm in this mess, but I know he loves me and I'm going to live out of that love. And then the miracle came. Okay, the miracle came. So let's go ahead and pray for that. Amen? Let's go ahead and ask that, because we're on scriptural grounds. And as we pray about this together, I'll be happy to pray with any individuals that need that. But if you don't feel the need for that, let's just pray together and let's just lift ourselves to the Lord and do what Paul prayed. I'm gonna do what Paul prayed. Okay, I'm praying for myself too, but I'm going to do what Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus. Father, I just lift you up this day, Father, and I am so glad that there is a bedrock that is your love that nothing can penetrate, nothing can set aside, Father, and perfect love casts out fear. So I just reach out to you, Father, especially, Father, for anybody who's being timid about this, Lord, and not reaching out. And I pray, Father, for the release of the love of God in this church, Father, in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray for our brothers and sisters in China and other people who are tapping us on the website and who are listening to these messages, Father. I pray for the people in China and in the United Kingdom, Father, right now, that you would show those people who are listening to this word, show them your love. Let them know, Father, that they may then begin to believe, Lord, that you're a good God and that you're not this religious monster that many people have made you out to be, but you're a good God. And Father God, in the name of Jesus here at home, I pray for Gateway Bible Church, Father, that we would know, Father, and believe the love that you have to each and every one of us, Father, that would become the bedrock, Lord, of our walk with you, Father. It starts with you. It ends with you, Father. our faith and our belief starts with you. We choose to believe, and then you do what you said you would do. And I release that abiding sense of the love of God in all of us to rise up from our heart, Father, to give us the ability to overflow and to reach out into the lives of others, to bring other hurting people in here, Father, that you've appointed us to help. We're not called to everybody and everything, but we're called to the people you've called us to. And we say, give us those people, Lord, in Jesus' name. Give us the people we're supposed to help. Especially for my brothers in China, Father, who are listening to this according to these taps on the website. I just pray that you would make known for them, especially in the midst of persecution, the love that you have for them, Father. And Father, also in the UK, Lord, that love as well, Father. I pray this in Jesus' name, and I continue to pray it for us here, that that love would rise up in our hearts and that we would know it and believe it. In Jesus' name, amen.